Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can always hit us up in the chat room, and we can take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Well, it's an interesting Monday Night Raw, I'll say that. And we have a lot to talk about, certainly. But before we get started, there are a couple of items to finish up with about the greatest Royal Rumble from Saudi Arabia and the blowback that it has gotten. Here's the news that we've received. The first bit of news is that there were quite a few, actually, upset workers in the WWE who did not want to go and perform based on some of the demands that the Saudi Arabian government had required. But they also realized, or at least that's what they say, that part of my job is to go wherever the WWE holds a show. And so I did it. I don't buy that. I don't buy it. You know, if your morals are that offended, stay home. Okay. If you get in trouble, well, then you've gotten in trouble. I mean, at some point you just can't use the excuse, I was only following orders, or I was only doing what my job description is, you know? Second thing is that apparently the Saudi prince is such a huge WWE admirer and wanted nothing but the WWE there, that he said, I hope you're bringing the Ultimate Warrior, and I'd like you to bring Yokozuna. Isn't that nice? That's a tremendous fan. That's somebody who looked that up on the internet. They didn't give one damn about the WWE being there. They cared about a propaganda video saying how wonderful the country was. And they got it. They got a $200 million propaganda video. Third is that apparently even Stephanie McMahon herself was not allowed to attend the dinners with the Saudi prince that The Undertaker and I guess Brock Lesnar and Vince McMahon and some of the dignitaries had. So if you can imagine that, Stephanie McMahon herself was told, no, she's unworthy of coming. And the Sami Zayn thing takes a weird turn, because it turns out Sami Zayn has actually wrestled in Saudi Arabia before. So technically speaking, the Saudi Arabian people, or government, I should say, not their people, Saudi Arabian government decided that based on Sami Zayn's apparent fundraiser that he did for Syrian refugees, Sami for Syria, I believe it was called, that he had to be left off this time. Also, what we did not know is they said absolutely no portrayal in any way, shape, or form of any characters as gay. Whether they are gay or not doesn't matter. And I'm not going to harp on this. Well, I'm only going to take one more minute with it. I'm just going to tell you this. The statement that WWE released that says, we understand the customs of different countries and respect them, but we are also fully aware that, you know, our own policies are the, you know, different, and we treat everyone equally. Look, stoning gays to death in the street is not a custom. It's a crime. Oppressing the rights of women is not a custom. It's a crime. So quit calling it a custom. A custom is, you know, you sit down on the floor to eat, or you bow instead of shake hands. Not you stone people to death in the street. So stop already. Just stop. Anyway, let's get on to Monday Night Raw and one of the weirdest opening segments I believe I've ever seen. because either the WWE was just simply don't care, and they said that, look, as long as we get a pop, we don't care who we get a pop from, or they just totally do not understand their crowd. They 100% understand that Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are both Canadian, and they are in Montreal. And it, basically, it's Zayn's back door. And they send Roman Reigns out. To a chorus of, I mean, you want to talk about a chorus of boos. You want to talk about buried boos. Now, are you going to tell me that they didn't think that Sami Zayn sticking his head out of that curtain wasn't going to get a huge pop from his hometown crowd? And that Kevin Owens also wasn't going to get a huge pop from that hometown crowd? Okay, they send out Jinder Mahal. He's not going to get a pop, but that doesn't matter. My point is, you took the three biggest faces in the company and put them in the opening segment when two out of the three heels that you put in that segment, you knew were going to be so over that it was going to prevent the crowd from cheering for the faces. Now, it's bad enough you throw Roman Reigns under the bus because he's already under the bus. All you're really doing is failing to drag him out from under the bus at this point. And Braun Strowman is going to be popular no matter who he fights. But you really threw Lashley under the bus. Bobby Lashley comes out to make the save on Roman Reigns and gets booed by the crowd. Booed by the crowd. Who's a really good crowd, by the way. But if you do not understand that that crowd's going to pop for Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, now there's going to be people in the WWE saying, well, we knew that. Of course we knew that. That's fine. We wanted the crowd to have fun with their hometown boys. Okay, but you threw your faces under the bus. If you're trying to promote Bobby Lashley as this big face, he certainly didn't help him last night. Still trying to get Roman Reigns over. You certainly didn't help him last night. And if you're trying to keep Braun Strowman always getting that pop, you certainly didn't help him last night. And I'm not sure why. There were many other things you could have done. It's just, I don't know. I mean, it was like opposite day. That's the only thing I could think of. It's like opposite day where you say, well, the heels are faces and the faces are heels tonight because we're in Canada, which it used to be that way, by the way. You remember Bret Hart and all that stuff, you know, in the United States, he was a heel and Kennedy is a face. I don't know. Maybe they're trying to pull that, but I was very confused by it. And I really think it didn't do Lashley of all people any good, Mike.
It really did. And that's the thing. You've got to understand both of those two guys showing their face in that arena, what kind of a reaction they're going to get. You know, it's going to be 90-10, if not 100%. You know, not only cheering, but, you know, they were actually doing the whole Ole thing, the whole singing of his song, the whole this, that, and the other for Sami Zayn. So it's not just the fact that they're cheered the guy. It's the fact that the reaction to the song and everything else that they've got. Now, he tried to get them to hate him, but it wasn't going to happen last night, you know? And that's the thing. Now they kind of saved it with Mahal coming out there because he's not going to get cheered. Mahal's just simply not going to get cheered, you know? So That's
how they tried to save it, Mike. But that just proves to me that they thought if we put Mahal with these two guys, everyone will get booed. And that's so illogical. That's not going to happen. Roman Reigns came out to the worst reaction I've heard in a very long – since he beat The Undertaker. The night after he beat The Undertaker. These fans – here's the danger now. These fans are no longer just not liking Roman Reigns. They don't want to see him. And that's a problem. It's no longer a problem of they just don't like him because then you just flip him heel. It's starting to get to we don't like him. We just don't want to see him. Jinder Mahal got a better reaction coming out to interrupt Roman Reigns than Roman Reigns got. So, of course, they knew Sami Zayn was going to get a pop. Of course, they knew Kevin Owens was going to get a pop. And that's fine if it was just for Roman Reigns because, again, they're not throwing Roman Reigns under the bus. He's already under the bus. But when Lashley, who you want to make this big, you know, newly arrived hero, comes out and gets booed, how did that do him any good? And then putting Braun Strowman with him again. We'll discuss this a little later in the show, but Bobby Lashley is being used so poorly that he's irrelevant. He's an irrelevant for the WWE. The guy everybody said he's going to be, oh, he's going to fight Lesnar, it's going to be this big deal, and they're going to promote this big, giant match. He's irrelevant. Every match he's in is a three-man tag team match, and he doesn't factor into the decision. That's the Bobby Lashley story right now. And teaming him with Braun Strowman is the exact wrong thing to do, unless you plan on flipping him, which I would assume that's going to happen at Backlash because I can't see any other reason. It's just a mistake, all around mistake, and it made Raw in the beginning just feel weird, and it made that particular match that they set up, Todd, not that interesting for me.
No, it's not. Like you said, it's like Bizarro Land over there. Every time you go to Canada, it's Bizarro Land. Like Jerry Lawler says in his commentary, when for Raw or whatever for Superstars, like it's different.
It's different, but they had to know it was going to happen. They had to know those were the hometown boys. Now, if it happened, you know, just generically, where you say, I don't know why they're cheering this guy. I don't know why everybody's cheering Jinder Mahal. Then you say, okay, well, nobody saw that coming. But you knew KO and Sammy were getting cheered. You knew it. You had to know it. So that's a very weird opening and not one that I liked. Anyway, Elias comes out. And again, tremendous pop. Such a big pop that it actually threw him off. And this is not the only time. Seth Rollins also got thrown off. But Elias comes out to just a hero's welcome, really. Fans are clapping along with the song he's singing. And even though it ends with, you know, everybody in Montreal sucks, nobody cares. Because they no longer believe he's sincere. He's Don Rickles, you know, what he's saying he don't mean. So they're just fully behind him, which is no good for Bobby Roode. When, think about it for a minute. You're the face standing behind the curtain waiting for the heel to warm the crowd up. So you come out and they say, oh, good, go punch this idiot in the throat. And you hear, walk with Elias, so loud it's echoing. And the fans clapping hands along with his song and cheering him. And you're like, I'm fucked. What would you like me to do? I'm going to be the guy who crashes the party. I'm going to be the guy who stops the fun, not the guy who stops the insults and the loudmouth. So he's not going to get over. He's going to get the exact opposite reaction. Because the fans are like, oh, no, we like Elias. Now, the match itself was pretty good. But it was the announcer's fault and or the people directing the camera that really blew this. And I'll tell you why. The announcers sold early that Bobby Roode got kicked in the throat, which was fine. And Bobby Roode sold it throughout that match, which was very good. But then they did the end segment where he ran him into the steel post there. And the announcers clearly said that he ran him throat first. And Bobby Roode reacted like he was indeed his throat struck that buckle. So that was the gimmick. But then they kept saying, let's see it from another angle. Let's see it from another angle. Let's see it from another angle. And finally, guess what happened? The camera hit an angle that clearly showed he got hit on the shoulder and nowhere near his throat. So then they have to say, well, it looked like it hit his clavicle. Hoping 90% of the people don't know where your clavicle is, but I can promise you it's not on your deltoid muscle. And they look like idiots. Just leave it alone. Don't reshow it. just let the fans leave with that impression that he got hit right in the throat. He ran him directly in with the throat. Another weird move, which I do not understand, is that while he is laying there, gasping for air, and paramedics are there, Elias simply leaves. I thought, well, this is where they're going to try to really get some heat for Elias. He's going to attack him again. Or he's going to interrupt the medical treatment or something to try to get Bobby Roode over. No, Elias just walks away. Okay, well, hope you're all right. Then I don't know. You may as well just flip him face, because you wasted any opportunity there, in my opinion, to get him further heat, Mike.
You really did. I would say you really did, but then it comes back and he said what he said on the mic, you know, call for the bell and count the man out, which would be the logical thing to do, you know, or count the man out, which would be the logical thing to do, and the referee didn't do it. So this was a blown spot all around, a blown spot by the announcers, a blown spot by the commentators, and a blown spot by the cameraman, you know. It's just blown all the way around.
It was. I was shocked because, you know, just leave well enough alone. When it first happened, I said, wow, he took a risk. If he ran himself in there with his throat first into that, you know, I knew he missed it. But I thought, well, he made it look like it was his throat. You know, he tucked his chin or whatever, made sure he didn't hit his throat. But, wow, that was risky. And then when I saw it again, I'm like, well, maybe he still did. He just put his shoulder near the buckle so he knew that would protect him. But then they kept doing it until you say, oh, no, he didn't hit it at all. Only his shoulder hit it. Only his deltoid muscle hit it. Congratulations. Now, Derek's saying he thinks it's a good idea to have Sammy and KO faces in Canada. You know, like a la Bret Hart. But here's why I don't. One of them would be okay if that was the case. But you have to understand that when Bret Hart was a face in Canada and a heel in the United States, he did nothing really heelish in Canada. In other words, he was a real face in Canada. He would come out and wrestle fairly. He wouldn't mouth off. He didn't do any of those things he did in the United States. He was a face. Zayn and Owens didn't do that last night. They did all kinds of heelish things. So they're not really faces. If you want to make somebody a face in Canada, make them a face in Canada, but then make them a real face. A real face doesn't hold your trunks or cheat or not, miss the tag and claim you got tagged in or double team you and all that, those things. They don't do that. And they certainly don't team with Jinder Mahal. When Bret Hart was a face in Canada, he did not team with whoever was one of the hot heels at the time. They aren't really faces. You want to make them faces, go ahead in Canada. But then don't have them team with heels and don't have them do heelish things. Bret Hart didn't do that in Canada. So that's the difference. Anyway, let's get on with to the next thing. We did mention, of course, that the crowd, though, was exceptionally hot. And I think they liked this match, the Elias match. I did. Authors of Pain come out and defeat two guys I've never seen before. The one guy seemed pretty good on the mic. So obviously he's been around a little bit. And they just got squashed. That's fine. They're doing the same thing with them that they did with the Bludgeon Brothers. They're going to feed them local competition for a while, I guess. That's cool. They cut a short promo afterwards. They need Paul Ellering. He's not coming back, so you better find somebody. So let's move on. Sasha Banks, Ruby Riott. I mean, it was what it was. It was a good TV match. It did further some angle, I guess, with Sasha and Bayley and that whole thing. But overall, Mike, I think there's some fire has been lost in this women's division, and you could almost see it last night.
Yes, and the thing is even though it was the right person who won, you know, and you know, we and throughout the match, she wasn't getting the heat, the face heat. Sasha wasn't getting the face heat, even though she was against against Ruby Riott. Ruby Riott just keeps on proving to me that she's got what it takes. Number one, and at some point, look. It's obvious that even when Sarah Logan's is standing there, that she doesn't belong in that group, you know?
It may be time for her to move on, and not because she's not good, because she might be better than the rest. I'm thinking it's time for her to – she would make that perfect redneck badass girl face or heel. You're right. Look, this crowd again threw off even Seth Rollins. Seth came out there with, and by the way, Seth Rollins has finally learned how to be a face. When he was with The Shield originally, he thought it was about doing defying moves and being that, you know, never give up guy and just, you know, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this, but I won't really acknowledge the fans that much. It's just, you know, we're The Shield and whatever, but he's got it now. He's got it. When he looks overwhelmed by the reaction, when he says, wow, man, you know, that's crazy. You guys are crazy. The fans just cheer more. Remember a long time ago on this show, I said, when you're turning a heel face, the very first thing you need to do is when the crowd starts cheering them, they have to look around a little bit like they're confused. Like, what's this? Because that look in their eyes of what's going on tells the crowd, they're not necessarily rejecting this. If we cheer loud enough and long enough, he's going to come to our side. Facial expression that allows the fans to think they're part of the show and they cheer louder. When Seth Rollins laughs or smiles or shakes his head like, whoa, you know, they cheered louder. That's what I'm talking about when I tell you, you can communicate to the fans without using a microphone. And it's much more valuable to do so. Because it seems authentic. That's why he got that huge reaction. I mean, they like him, but they kept cheering because of the things he was doing facially. And just leaning on the ropes like, I'm just going to soak this up and enjoy it. So, out comes Finn Balor. And lo and behold. T-shirt with the LGBT colors, it has been washed, apparently. It's back on. Remember, he said, I can't do that in Saudi Arabia because they were all dirty. Well, somebody found a clean one. Anyway, he comes out. His facial expressions consist of, I just smile like I'm a baby with gas. And challenges Seth Rollins. Now, if anybody doubts what I'm saying about Finn Balor just being too small to compete really in this division, Seth Rollins is not a big guy. I mean, he's tall. He's about 6 foot tall, but he's not a large guy. And he towers over Finn Balor. But anyway, come the Miztourage, who do a fantastic job. These guys are a comedy team now. And if that's the way they're going to use them, I'm okay with it. Because here's what they're doing. Even though the fans are picking on them and calling them losers and everything else, it will be no more than a week or two more before the fans' sympathies are going to start saying, yeah, they're pretty nice guys in a way. They're just looking for somebody, and they're going to find that somebody. They're going to find them. So this should be very interesting. I'm looking forward to that. Finn Balor does sort of a heelish thing and attacks Seth Rollins after that incident. And here's the thing that throws me. If you're going to turn Finn Balor heel, which I'm not sure they're going to, but if your purpose of this seems to be like Finn Balor's going to have enough finally and turn heel, this would have been the time to start planting the seeds. Instead, the announcers say, oh, well, he's just sending a message. Seth understands. Seth isn't mad at him for doing that. Seth gets it. That's just sending a message. That's no big deal. That's not a heelish thing. Why didn't they say, gee, that's sort of out of character for Finn? I mean, I suppose he could be trying to send Seth a message, but no matter how you look at it, He attacked him from behind. Was that necessary? No, they didn't do that. They wasted that, I thought. If that's their intention with him, they wasted it. If it's not their intention with him, I don't see why you even do it. What's your thoughts on that, Todd?
You're absolutely right there. It was one of the funniest skits I've seen. I laughed at the part they had all four faces on the T-shirt. One,
the
two, t-shirt three, four.
Was great. And again,
we should be the Four Horsemen.
And again, on all cylinders, Finn Balor says nothing. He just smiles at the T-shirt. Seth Rollins does the perfect straight man to the comedy thing by just open mouth saying, "What the hell is that?" I mean, that's a perfect response, Mike.
It really is. And look, Seth Rollins, I mean, much like the reaction to the crowd, I mean, much like before, about a couple of months ago with Rusev, when they were cheering, just outright cheering Rusev, and Rusev would just sit there and nod his head, and his facial expressions and then of course you get Seth Rollins, one of the first things he says is, "Well, my shield running mate got screwed," you know, furthering that angle.
Right, and you know, you'll notice that they're really trying to downplay that, because when the fans started to boo that, Seth Rollins said, "Well, no, look, you can love him or hate him, that's up to you. But I'm just telling you the truth, and the truth is that he didn't lose that match." So that was an interesting part of that. I thought that whole thing was pretty good, and I'm starting to see Seth Rollins cranking on all cylinders like The Miz is, and I think this Backlash match is going to be one of the better matches that we've seen in a long time. And both of these guys, The Miz and Seth Rollins, going forward, I'm really looking forward to watching them work. There are a few athletes I'm really looking forward to watching work, and Seth Rollins now and The Miz now are two of them. So we get Lashley, Roman Reigns, and Braun Strowman, and they beat Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and Jinder Mahal. Lashley's not even involved in the decision. As a matter of fact, he's the guy who gets beat up and has to make the hot tag out. Wow, he's low man on the totem pole. He's been here 3 weeks. He hasn't even had a solo match that I know of. He beat up Elias. That wasn't a match. Bobby Lashley, what the hell, man? What the hell are you doing with Bobby Lashley? What'd you hire him for? This is what we're going to get out of him? And here's the situation. If he does turn on Braun Strowman Sunday, nobody's going to care, because they're going to say, "Yeah, but he's not as tough as Braun Strowman. Look at the tag team matches he had. He had to tag out. He was getting beat up, and then Strowman came in and just steamrollered everybody. He can't match, you know, with Braun Strowman." So you've done a poor job even at that. If you wanted to make it look like he can match Braun Strowman, he should have been the guy getting the wins. Braun Strowman maybe should have done a lot of the work, but Lashley should have been the guy who got the wins. So it always looked like, so Bobby Lashley could say, "Well, who got the pinfalls all the time?" You know, but no. So I don't know what you're doing with him. I really don't know what you're doing with him. But I know you've really spoiled his debut to the point where fans don't care, Mike.
Yeah, you really did. I was one of the ones that thought, you know, and this is before Lashley got even thought about coming here back to the WWE, that the money match would have been Lashley Lesnar, but not now. Not the way they've handled Lashley. Not the way they've handled Lashley. You know.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, just the opposite. Now, if he turns heel, people are going to say, "How big deal? What did he do as a face? You know, was he really that tough? What did he do?" They've mismanaged Lashley. Lashley should have been coming in, you know, almost like the Authors of Pain. Squash a little local talent. Maybe if you want to tag team him with somebody, fine, but let him get the win. Let him be the guy who gets the hot tag. No, they didn't do any of that. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell they're doing with him. The next one had me screaming at the top of my lungs. Baron Corbin gives the bad mouth to Titus O'Neil, which is fine. I'm glad Titus is getting his 5 minutes of fame out of this. He deserves it. And I'm saying to myself, okay, we're going to get a Baron Corbin-Titus O'Neil match out of this maybe. This could be all right. But then it's based on what they did last week, it's No Way Jose versus Baron Corbin. And I'm saying to myself, well, this is going to end poorly for a couple of reasons. One, if Jose loses, he's Jabronville. He just showed up. And his first major feud, he's going to lose. Corbin just got over here. They've just repackaged him as, okay, now I'm serious. In SmackDown, things got out of hand, but I'm serious now. And I knew Titus would factor into it. So I said, well, maybe Titus will come out and get him disqualified. Maybe Titus will come out and there'll be a brawl, something. I don't care what you have to do. You cannot let Baron Corbin be pinned. You can have him jump out of the ring and attack Titus and be counted out. You can have Titus jump in the ring and have No Way Jose disqualified. You can have any number of things happen. The thing you cannot have happen is Baron Corbin pinned, because now it's right back to SmackDown. Remember when we said we hit the reset button with Baron Corbin? Forget the reset button. Because now the message you sent is he's easily distracted. He doesn't pay attention to his opponents. He can't kick out of a roll-up from a guy 100 pounds lighter than him. He's just not that tough. That's the message that you have sent. He is not going to be able to overcome all of these losses time and time and time and time again. And I don't care if you want to set up Titus O'Neil and Baron Corbin. That's fine. But set it up in a different way then. Set it up in a totally different way. Have No Way Jose fighting outside the ring with Baron Corbin and one of the dancers on the conga line who has a mask on or something turns out to be Titus, and he attacks Baron Corbin. And it's a DQ or count out or whatever you want to do. But you cannot make it look like it's Baron Corbin's fault. And oops, I can't kick out of a roll-up. Oops, I got distracted. Oop, there I go again, losing another match. Because when you do that, you've sent him basically to a point where fans just don't think he's that tough, Mike.
Yeah, they don't think he's that tough. And look, I'll say this right here about No Way Jose. No Way Jose, you know, he's a big enough and athletic enough guy that if he's used right, he could be a threat. But not this way. No. And look, the best thing in this match was that they actually did take advantage of the whole thing with Titus. And that fall he took on the apron, that wasn't an easy fall to take, number one. There are very few people in that company that could probably pull that thing off the way that Titus pulled. That's a very athletic looking fall, you know, that he took.
Yeah, but you could tell it was staged, and that's a problem, because when you have that, then it makes Baron Corbin look like the following things. A, he's a complete moron. He thought he actually really fell. B, he doesn't care one bit about his opponent, and he's so easily distracted that I guess if a fan just yells at him, somebody can roll him up from behind. And three, he's a 6'8" man who cannot kick out of a roll-up when he's not even hurt. Not like he went through a 20-minute grueling match. He's not even hurt. It doesn't work. That booking did not work in any way, shape, or form. It did not help No Way Jose, because it made No Way Jose look like I don't have a prayer against Baron Corbin unless somebody comes and helps me. So that's no good. Excuse me. It makes Baron Corbin look like he's very easily beaten and distracted and not all that tough. And to be honest with you, it makes Titus O'Neil look like I would rather screw him over than to just confront him and say, hey, you think you're funny? You know, fight me. Which makes him look a little, I just don't like the whole thing. I didn't like that whole entire segment, Todd.
You're absolutely right about that match with Jose, No Way Jose and Baron Corbin. Like you said, it's awkward there.
It didn't help anybody. I don't see how it helped anybody. So I did not like it. We then get Natty versus Mickie James. And this is where I start to get angry with Raw. I am done with this nonsense, this fake nonsense notion that Ronda Rousey is just a part of the women's division, just another girl. When's the last match she had? Is she ever going to have a match? Or is she just going to be, I'll run out, I'll beat up the Stephanie, I'll come out and do this, I'll come out and do that. How about you come out and wrestle? How about you come out and have a match? Because this nonsense of, I'm just showing up for a guest appearance, is getting old. If you're a part of the women's division, then my thought process would be, you would say, can I have some matches to work my way up the roster so I can get a title shot? Not, can I just show up to make sure that Natty doesn't get double teamed? Can I just run into the ring to help this one and that one? Can I do a triple tag team match? And, you know, or, that means nothing to my own personal career. At some point you'd say, when am I going to start my career here? When am I going to start getting a match on, you know, a regular basis? So I can show what I can do as a solo performer. Here's the reason. She's not ready. Remember I told you way back at WrestleMania when everybody was saying, oh, it's the best match of the night and she looks great. And I told you, she's not ready. The reason she's not ready is because that match was so scripted at WrestleMania that I'm sure they ran through that more times than a Broadway play. So it was ingrained in her mind. I've wrestled this match 1,000 times. So I can wrestle it 1,001. So it's easy to look good when it's that scripted. But when you say, well, you know, you were showing up tonight and you're going to fight this girl and talk it out in the ring. Here's the conclusion. But talk it out in the ring. She can't do it. And the whole women's division, I thought, was based on, you know, we're going to try to get the top athletes and see what we can do. This whole women's division thing is just... Don't even get me started on it, but I'm getting tired of Ronda Rousey just being a guest star. Is she? I want to be just a normal part. This is my life. I'm just a normal part of this company, and I'm going to be on every Raw from now on. Yeah, every Raw from now on backstage cutting a promo. Every Raw from now on helping some other girl, being in some girl's corner, running in to make a save. How about you wrestle? Now, I know she's going to start this program with Natty because that's exactly what they want. They want Natty, who trained her, to talk her through a decent match. But what is this saying to you, boys and girls, when you have to fight your trainer because you can't call a decent match with a girl who isn't someone you've worked with for a year? Mike, I told you from the very beginning I'm worried about Ronda Rousey, and I still am.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we've said it before. I mean, the two other girls that are former MMA people are much, 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 much better in the ring than Ronda Rousey is. And that's no – and, yeah, Ronda Rousey, so-called, gives them, you know, so-called cred, but because of the championship she's won – but that's not the point. The point is you've got to, before Brock Lesnar went to MMA, he had the cred in the wrestling business because he'd been in the ring several years before he went to MMA, you know?
Right.
So, you know?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. He had the credibility. Ronda Rousey has credibility, but she's not wrestling. And Derek is asking, well, if you can just script it that scripted, and make people look better, why don't they? Well, the answer is very simple. There's two reasons, really. One is no time. I think it was Elvis Costello, the pop new wave artist, who once said, you have your entire life to write your first album. You have 2 months to write your second one. Well, that's kind of the same way with Ronda Rousey. She had as long as she needed up to WrestleMania to practice that match. Any opportunity she had, I do this, I do that, let's rehearse it again, let's rehearse it again, let's rehearse it again and again and again and again and again. You're not going to have that opportunity for the rest of your life. You don't have time to do that. You're going from one city to the next city. You got to do this show, you got to do that show. You don't have 2 months. Part of being a professional wrestler is to say, we plan some of the stuff, but we can talk the match through in the ring and still have a really, really good one. You think AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura sit around for months saying, then I'll whip you to the ropes, and then this will happen. Then you slide out of the ring. Then you go yell at an audience member while I catch my breath. They don't do that. They hit the highlights. I'm going to do this move at some point. I'm going to do that at some point. What are you going to do? You going to do this to me at this point? I'll reverse this when you do that. And then the rest of it, they just call. That's part of being a professional wrestler, being able to call a decent match on the fly and not have every single thing cut and paste. If that's the best you can do is have every single thing cut and pasted for you, then you're not going to make it because you don't have the time for that. If you're Brock Lesnar, you have the time for it because you only wrestle once every 6 months or 5 months. And so you could talk through a match for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. But if you're Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, you don't have the time for that. There are times you show up on Raw and say, who am I fighting? And yet they can still pull off the quality of a match. I've been very hard on Finn Balor, but that was a brilliant match. Finn Balor is always better when he wrestles guys who aren't that much bigger than him, that he doesn't have to sell as immensely stronger. And if you think those guys went through every one of those moves backstage and said, then when you do this, I'll do that, practice it with me. Walk like a dance move with me. I'll slowly whip myself pretending it's a rope. And then like, they don't do that. They don't do it. They work out the ending. You reverse that roll up, hit me with that bomb, but then I'm going to kick out and I'll give you you duck the curb stomp and I'll give it to you. That's what they do. Key points. They say, I'm going to just do that on the fly. Oh, we got a match tonight? Okay. Let's pull this spot and this spot and this spot. Okay, cool. The rest of it, we'll just ad lib. We'll talk when we get out there. And they can pull off that kind of a match because they are professional wrestlers. Ronda Rousey is a girl who right now is pretending to be a professional wrestler. I'm not saying she can't kick all their asses for real. Of course she could kick all their asses for real, but she's not a professional wrestler. Because she can't do the things that professional wrestlers do. And one of them is to wrestle a solo match against anyone on the roster at any given time and have it be halfway decent. Now I want to ask you, do you think that Seth Rollins, if he showed up Monday night and said, who am I fighting? And they said, you're fighting Elias. It's not going to be a good match. He shows up Monday night. And, who am I fighting? You're fighting Jinder. It's not going to be a good match. You're fighting Samoa Joe. You're fighting this guy. You're fighting that guy. It doesn't matter. It's going to be a good match. Because they'll talk out the main parts behind the scenes quickly. And they can talk, and they can go through the rest. But all of these girls on the roster know we can't talk this out with Ronda Rousey. She's not going to get it. Ask Sonya Deville. She goes to throw a punch, and Ronda won't even block it, so she has to stop her punch. She's not ready. But because her name means something, they're going to make her ready. And if they have to disguise it by saying she's only going to do one move on Mickey James, she's only going to be around for while we're training her even more, folks. She's just going to do run-ins. She's just going to save the day or be at ringside or come out for an interview. But she's on Raw every week. Yeah, she's on Raw every week. So is Byron Saxton. It doesn't mean he's a fucking wrestler. So is Michael Cole. It doesn't mean he's a freaking wrestler. At some point in time, she's going to have to wrestle. WrestleMania was her big debut, and since then, what the hell has happened? We're in May. We're in May. It's not acceptable, Mike.
It really isn't. And just for the sake of the new listeners here, that may be listening to us, here's how things generally work. First thing that happens is The writers would go to the wrestlers and say, here's how this match fits into this storyline that we've written for you. Then the guys, then Vince McMahon or Triple H or whomever will go to the wrestlers and say, okay, you're going to win. Mr. X, you're going to win. Mr. Y, you're going to lose. How you get there is up to you. And if Mr. X and Mr. Y is, say, I don't know, AJ Styles and Nakamura, then they can go off by themselves and say, okay, we're going to do this, this, and this. And then, but to get to the fabulous five arm or whatever he calls it, and for me to win the match, then you're going to have to be here, here, and here. You know, that's how they do this stuff. That's how this.
That's partially it. Let me go into a little bit more detail. It won't be Vince or Triple H. It's just going to be a road agent that tells them, look, you're going over on so-and-so tonight. So you go to so-and-so. And sometimes they'll tell you how, like the Bobby Roode match. They planned that. They said, look, you got to sell a throat injury early. Then we're going to do this part where he runs you into the buckle and you got to fall outside, pretend, you know, you crushed your larynx or whatever the hell it happens to be. And that's how this match is going to end. Okay. So you know that's happening. You know that the kick is happening and you got to sell. He got kicked in the throat. And then later, you know, when he gives me that out, when I go outside and I'm on the ring apron, he runs me into that thing. That's when I got to oversell that I've crushed my larynx. But all those other moves, the suplexes, the whip to the ropes, the corner shots, the put the boot up, that's called during the match. They don't run through every single part of that. Nobody could remember that much. Some of these matches are 20 minutes. You think they're remembering every move? You think they're on the you know, in backstage saying, start out with an arm lock, and then I'll reverse the arm lock, and then you go to a toe hold, and then we'll break, and then I'll whip you to the corner, but you put the boot up. They don't going to remember that. They call it while they're in the ring. The crucial parts of the matches are scripted. So-and-so's winning. So if you got a three-man tag team match, Braun Strowman is the guy who's pinning so-and-so. That's written in Rock. Now, you can reach a level like The Undertaker, where I know The Rock in his book said, I was scheduled to beat The Undertaker one night. They were going to really push me as a heel, and I was going to beat The Undertaker. And I asked Vince McMahon, is there a special way? What are we doing here? I'm beating The Undertaker? And apparently Vince or whoever happened to be at the time said, well, we don't tell Taker how to lose because he's earned that. He knows he's losing, but how he's losing is up to him. Earned that, then that happens sometimes. I don't know if there's that many people on the roster right now who's earned that. Probably John Cena. Maybe it's still The Undertaker. Maybe Brock. I don't know. Not too many people. And that night, apparently, The Rock said, well, I guess I'm winning. How are we winning? And The Undertaker had said to him, if you ever want to be a star, you got to beat a star. So whatever your finishing maneuver is, you're going to have to give it to me and just pin me. Because then it'll look like you pin somebody good. If it's a count out or a DQ or you cheat or put your feet on the ropes, that's not going to get you over. The only thing that's going to get you over is if you beat me. So just beat me. Which The Rock to this day said helped elevate my career tremendously. But these guys, like, you know, when they go out there and they say, you know, whoever it happens to be, Elias and Rude, they just call that. They just tell them, we're doing this gimmick with your throat. So that's what you're going to do for the end. Everything you do in the middle, we don't care. Just go out and call your match like anybody else would. The only other example I can give you, it's like a baseball pitcher. You know how a pitcher shakes off the catcher? No, not that one. No, not that one. That one. They don't sit in the dugout going, now this next batter, I'm going to throw two curveballs in a row and I'm going to waste one out. They don't do that because you can't remember it. They may talk about how they're going to pitch him. I'm pitch him inside all day. I'm going to bust him inside. I'm going to bust him up and in. Well, that's what these wrestlers do. Some are more anal than others. Randy Savage had a reputation of wanting to plan almost everything out. But the 90% of them do not do that because you just can't. You don't have the time. And Ronda Rousey is a girl who can look good if she has walked through a match. Every single thing that she does has to be 100% pre-planned and practiced over and over and over and over again. at this stage of her career, which is normal. Nobody comes out of wrestling school, you know, without a match, real, you know, a bunch of matches under their belt and says, I can call a great match. Nobody does. But you got to get to that level before you're in the major leagues, and she's in the major leagues. And not only is she in the major leagues, but we're being told she's the best there is. None of these girls have a chance against her. It's apples and oranges. And then when you see her, you're like, she's not doing anything. So far, we've seen her do a suplex and that armbar constantly. And that's about like a Samoan drop type suplex, and that's about it. When are we going to see the, you know, the selling, the give and take, the flow of the match where you say, ooh, okay, that was good. Oh, they called, that was a nice spot they had there. I haven't seen any of that yet. And I don't think we're going to. Not for a while. So this could make the women's division look not good. Anyway, from apples to oranges, we get to Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins, which was an outstanding match. And I give kudos to Raw for doing something they almost never do. As soon as this was announced as the main event, I said, uh-huh. How can they end this? This can't end Raw. Raw always ends with some big cliffhanger. So either The Miz is going to come out or Finn is turning heel right tonight. Maybe even going with The Miztourage. I don't know what's going to happen. Something big is going to happen. It's not just going to end with a normal match. And the WWE, to their credit, said, no, that's okay. We don't need a cliffhanger. We're going to, these guys are going to do the job and make their match great. And you're going to end the night saying, I saw a great match. And that's enough. And that's exactly what we saw. This Finn Balor, I can live with. But Finn Balor can't do this on a regular basis with people who are bigger than him because he has to change his style. And he doesn't know how to change his style. When Finn Balor can wrestle AJ Styles, when Finn Balor can wrestle Seth Rollins, when Finn Balor can wrestle The Miz or somebody within reason of his size, these are great matches. But he gets lost when he's doing the Kane and Braun Strowman and things because he reverts back to thinking, I'm still wrestling Seth Rollins, or I'm still wrestling The Miz, or I'm still wrestling AJ Styles, and he reacts the same way. Kudos to both of them for this match, because this was a really, really solid match. And it left me with a good impression of Raw, even though the previous thing with Ronda Rousey really left a bad taste in my mouth. So let's talk a little bit about the Seth Rollins and Finn Balor match, Mike. I mean, that was outstanding.
That was outstanding. And this is a point where, you know, I'm thinking, okay, they really should have sent him over to SmackDown. Because other than Rusev and Big Cass, name me the other bigger wrestlers. AJ Styles, no. Nakamura, no.
The Miz, right?
The Miz, no. You know, I mean, he could be competitive on SmackDown, and you could buy him in that gimmick on SmackDown doing what he does, you know? Whereas you got, what, how many big guys? Corbin's there, and Joe's there, and
Joe's not there
Lesnar's
anymore.
There. Yeah.
Joe's gone, but you got Lesnar, you got Corbin, you've got Roman Reigns, you've got Braun Strowman, you've got Bobby Lashley. Yeah, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, they're bigger guys that he really shouldn't, you know, even to some extent Bray Wyatt. You wouldn't be able to buy him against Bray Wyatt. And you didn't buy him against Bray Wyatt when they put him against him. So,
and that's why they were lousy matches, Mike. That's why everybody said, oh, those matches were lousy. They blamed Bray. It wasn't just Bray's fault. It was Finn Balor's fault, too. But we can celebrate the match on Raw because it was excellent. And this is exactly what we want out of them. And I agree with you 100%. If you sent him over to SmackDown, I don't know anybody who wouldn't want to see Finn Balor versus Daniel Bryan. Wow. Finn Balor versus Nakamura. Wow. Finn Balor in a rematch against AJ Styles. Wow. I mean, there's a lot of meat waiting to be cultivated over there for Finn Balor. And there's nothing for him over here. That's the thing. You're absolutely right. What's for Finn Balor over here? Where does he go from here? Okay, so he lost to Seth Rollins. He's not going to get another shot. So now what? Who does he feud against? Name me the guy. Can't think of any. And that's the problem. Finn should have went right along with the rest of the club. But he didn't. Anyway, Raw this week, it had its ups and downs. It had its opposite day opening, which was weird. It had a crowd that was, you can't blame the crowd for what they cheer for. And this crowd was great. Raw has had two really good crowds. I think it was last week. If not the week before, there was a couple of really good crowds in a row here for Raw. I mean, vocal, buying into everything that they're selling. Just absolutely great. Now, you knew the Canadians was going to buy into the Canadian wrestlers, so you don't blame them for that. But other than that, they were buying everything they were selling. They were totally into the card for the most part. They didn't dog it. They didn't sit on their hands. For the most part, they were into this. So the WWE can be very lucky in that respect and be very thankful. Because this really did have its ups and downs. The Baron Corbin thing is ridiculous. You didn't hit any reset button with him. No way, Jose. Look, this gimmick's going to get old next week. And if that's all there is to this guy, he ain't going anywhere. You've mismanaged Lashley to the point he's irrelevant after 3 weeks. Congratulations. Ronda Rousey being on Raw is a joke. She does nothing, ever. But aside from that, we did get some great moments. So I'm going to have to say that I'm going to give this a C+. I give the main event an A+. Some of the rest of it dragged it down a bit. So, Mike, what's your thoughts?
A C+. And for what it was, I did enjoy that promo with Ziggler and what's his face? I enjoyed that. It was fun. It was a questionable thing, but it was a fun promo. I mean, obviously,
Ziggler was better this week than McIntyre. McIntyre came across a little tiny bit fake at the end, where he made that growly face like I'm a bad guy. You know, I didn't like that. But yeah, look, Drew McIntyre, believe me when I tell you, is going to make a major impact on Raw, a major impact. Todd, what's your grade?
I gotta go with you. I gotta go with a C+.
So there we go. I mean, we get a C+ all the way across the board. Here's the problem, though, Mike. Am I right in saying this is the go home show for Backlash? Yes.
Yes.
It wasn't that great for a go home show.
And look, we're gonna see what happens tonight, because this is a go home show too, isn't it?
Yeah,
for Backlash.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're going to see if it's any better.
Yeah, look, we are going to see if it gets any better. And usually SmackDown does a better job on their go-home show, so hopefully they will. We'll see you on Friday with more WrestleChat Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.